Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. Glad to have you back on the show, where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help to focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. That's right, there's no pressure on you to carry the program with phone calls. You don't have to call and try to think of something witty or entertaining or deep or intellectual to say. You can just kick back and relax. Take it easy. I'll take the pressure on me. I'll take it off of you. You can just relax and enjoy. Everybody's mellow now? Everybody's mellow. As I'm joined in the studio by my extremely attractive audio engineer. And yes, I was trying to think of something interesting I did this week. And all I did all week was work like a rented mule. That's what I did all week. From early morning to late at night, working practically like a slave just to try to pay the bills, keep food on the table. You know, it reminds me of a Bible verse, he said as he switched over to his Bible. Yes, it reminds me of a Bible verse. Genesis, in the third chapter, God says to Adam, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." So it's a lot of people look at that as a curse. And I felt it this week. It felt like a curse, just working like a rented mule all week. The sweat of my face just to eat some bread. It did feel sort of like a curse, but it's actually a blessing. Actually a blessing, yes. Yes, it is. And I don't want to get into a whole theological treatise on it, but that curse is actually a blessing. So hard work is a blessing from God, and I'm thankful to have worked so hard all week just so that on Sunday I could come and talk to you people. It's good to be here, along with my extremely attractive audio engineer. You know, I was thinking about that. I think that's the first thing I ever said. The first time I saw my extremely attractive audio engineer, if I'm not mistaken, I leaned over to my buddy and I said, "Man, she's extremely attractive." And he agreed. Yeah, anyway, I don't want to get into all that. I have so much news here because the whole world is just insane. It's an insane place to live. But we're all here together, along with Stephen Hawking, and Russian billionaires, and Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah. I've got a story here from ABC News. They report from our science, really, file. Stephen Hawking has conned a Russian billionaire named Yuri out of about $100 million in order to join him on a search for alien life out in space. Facebook CEO Zuckerberg. I wonder if that will be a derogatory adjective at some point. He's such a Zuckerberg. Yeah, I was Zuckerberged. Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, the Facebook CEO will also join in being conned out of several million dollars by Stephen Hawking. Zuckerberg and Yuri are on the board of Breakthrough Starshot, which ABC reports is a philanthropic initiative to search for life in the universe. How is that philanthropic? Go squander some Russian billionaire's money searching for alien life? How philanthropic? I'm not sure how that qualifies. Anyway, ABC says astronomers believe an Earth-like planet could exist within the habitable zones of Alpha Centauri. That's right, Alpha Centauri, which is the closest star system to Earth, as we all learned in seventh grade. It's about 25 trillion miles away. And the plan for Hawking and Yuri and Zuckerberg is to launch thousands of tiny light-propelled spacecraft called nanocrafts. And they're going to try to reach Alpha Centauri sometime in the next 20 years or hopefully before Yuri runs out of his money. Yes, these nanocraft are actually interesting. If they're real, I'm not sure. Because aliens are not real. Life on other planets is not real. Maybe the starcraft are just nanocraft. Maybe the nanocrafts are just a figment of Stephen Hawking's overactive imagination. Supposedly, the nanocraft is designed to fly at 20% the speed of light on a sail pushed by a light beam, making it over 1,000 times faster than today's fastest spacecraft. That's right, and you have to do that, you see, because with a traditional spaceship like we have now, it would take approximately 30,000 years to reach Alpha Centauri, and Stephen Hawking will have squandered all of the money within 30,000 years, and so they're going to shoot the nanocraft. I have heard of light sails, solar sails in space, and so it's an interesting idea. What does Hawking have to say? He issued a statement. He said, "Earth is a wonderful place, but it might not last forever." Said, now, Stephen Hawking is a physicist, so to assert that the Earth might not last forever makes me question his qualifications as a physicist, because any physicist looking at the Earth or the universe or the sun or anything should know that it's guaranteed not to last forever. That's just, it goes without saying, Steve. It's not going to last forever. He says, sooner or later, we must look to the stars. Breakthrough Starshot is a very exciting first step on that journey where Stephen Hawking and Mark Zuckerberg can go out and try to find people who aren't already so annoyed with them that they'll speak with that. That's it. Stephen Hawking's just trying to find someone who isn't sick of hearing from him. And Mark Zuckerberg just trying to find someone who doesn't think he's a jerk. And they're going to have to go to Alpha Centauri to find it, I do believe. We've got the, let's see here, Pete Warden is the former director of NASA Ames Research Center. He's going to lead the program along with a committee of world-class scientists and engineers. Aha! That's why this is philanthropic. It's charity for aging scientists. All their grants have run out, and they're just wondering how they're going to eat bread. In steps, Stephen Hawking shakes down a Russian billionaire. Mark Zuckerberg chips in, and before you know it, you've got another 20-year grant that'll ride you right into retirement. It's charity for the aging, old Earth, Big Bang scientists as they try to continue. All right. There we go. Now, speaking of the Big Bang, are you familiar with the television program on CBS called The Big Bang Theory? He said to his extremely attractive audience. When she shook her head, no. She's not familiar, but I know a lot of people are because I've heard of this program. And it's apparently a popular sitcom-type program, as you would expect from CBS, legacy media and all. Well, the Big Bang Theory television program featured new parents listening to their unborn baby's heartbeat. Yes, on TV, right there in front of God and everybody. When they hear the unborn child's heart, one of the characters says, "Hey, you guys made a person." And they called the unborn child a person, just like Hillary Clinton did a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Yep, they call it a person. And they say, yeah, we did. Unborn baby's father agrees. Yes, we made a person. Isn't that interesting? Personhood just seeping through slowly but surely because a number of us decided to bring it up a few years ago and make a political issue about the fact that the United States government no longer defends the right of every innocent person to life. And we brought up the fact that this is a person, and it was always considered a person. It was common knowledge it was a person. Everybody knew it was a person, and it's about time we stop acting like they're not people. And it's about time that their right to life is defended again by the United States government and every citizen, frankly. And so there we have it, personhood. seeping through the popular culture. It's funny how the heathen denies reality in order to carry on with their hedonistic lifestyle. But they can't help but acknowledge what's obviously true. And they even on a sitcom, they stumble into the truth every now and again. I had a note here. I think this was sent to me. The story was sent to me from my other brother, Daryl, I do believe. And he makes a note here. Let's see. I see CBS has a new show coming out where the main character discovers that the American government has stopped working and alien spawn have come to Earth and eaten the brains of a growing number of congressmen and Hill staffers. Said apparently another reality show. It's my other brother, Daryl, there. See, now, it's not that I'm not interested in what you people have to say. Feel free to send me insightful or funny or deep or entertaining or enlightening messages. We just don't take calls. Because I know you people work as hard as I do all week. What do you need to be calling a show to try to carry some lame host, Sean Hannity, who couldn't do 5 minutes worth of material if it wasn't written for him, and couldn't get through a 15-minute segment on the radio without a guest because he's an intellectual vacuum. He's like an old tube in an old radio from the 1930s, just completely empty and just a very dim light flickering. Well, we don't do that here. That's not how we roll. No. No, you take it easy. I'll take the show. I've got it well in hand. Case in point. We go to the culture file. Now, this is where the show, oh, boy. Let me see here. See, my extremely attractive audio engineer may flee the studio within the next three stories. Because the first one, what's that? Well, now, just try to bear with me because this isn't the normal. Well, let me just mention it. There's a new strain of super gonorrhea. And the concern is that it could become untreatable. Yes, experts believe, this is according to the Independent out of the United Kingdom. Experts believe that if the last fully effective antibiotic fails to stop the spread of the sexually transmitted infection, that's the new word. Remember, it used to be venereal disease, used to be VD. And then they changed it to STD. Sexually transmitted disease, but the people with the disease, they kind of feel bad that you're saying they have a disease. That's not very nice. So now it's a sexually transmitted infection. You were just unfortunate enough to be infected by chance. You were walking through the park, and you smelled the flowers, and before you know it, you had an infection. It could happen to anybody. If the antibiotic fails to stop the spread of this venereal disease, it could become untreatable. Yes, this alert, by the way, comes after Chancellor George Osborne and the government there in the UK warned last week that resistance to antibiotics would become an even greater threat, he says, to mankind than even cancer, unless there's some global action. That'd be some. And we've heard the stories of antibiotic-resistant strains of various germs and bugs. And wouldn't you know it, it just happens that gonorrhea is leading the pack, making a comeback, getting the band back together, so to speak. Let's see. The president of the British Association for Sexual Health and HIV. Can you imagine that's your job? Show up every morning, talk about VD and AIDS, and that's got to be a delight for Dr. Elizabeth Carlin. She told the BBC that the spread of high-level azithromycin-resistant gonorrhea is a huge concern, and it is essential that every effort is made to contain further spread. Failure to respond appropriately will jeopardize our ability to treat gonorrhea effectively. Could lead to poorer health outcomes for individuals. And I'm afraid for society as a whole, says Dr. Liz there. You know what none of these people are willing to stand up and say? Is that the government a world government. You want world action, global action. Governments around the world should be encouraged to recriminalize sex outside of marriage. I know that's an earth-shattering concept for most people, but it used to be a crime. Adultery, fornication, these things used to be against the law. And a lot of people, they don't do things that are against the law just because they're against the law, especially young people. So recriminalize sex outside marriage, and you might have a chance of slowing the growth of the killer gonorrhea. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. Marriage doesn't exist anymore. There's no such thing as marriage. First, the governments of the world would have to reestablish some sanity when it comes to marriage. And then perhaps they could, the odds of that happening, without a major event, there would have to be a civilizational shift of significant magnitude in order for anyone to think that they could stand up in public in a government forum and question the idea that homosexuals can't just marry one another off and march down the street in a parade in chaps and no shirts, and that sex outside of marriage should frankly be against the law.
Hands to yourself.
Right, every cheap blues lick in the book is contained in that one segment. That's why we love it so much. Thank you, boys. We do appreciate it. It's a blast from the past. The 80s. Oh, you want to hear a blast from the past? Now, I just saw this, and it has nothing to do with anything at all to do with anything I've been discussing. But the rumor is that the one of Australia's loudest bands, AC/DC, had to cancel a number of their concerts in their upcoming world tour because their lead singer was told by his doctor if he continued to tour, he'd risk total hearing loss. Total hearing loss. That's what happens screaming into your own ears through those ear-mounted monitors they have now. Screaming into his own ears for 30 years, and the doctor said, "Look, mate, your hearing just ain't going to make it. You've got to cut it out. You're 60 bloody years old, for crying out loud. You want to look like Keith Richards? It's just not happening for you, mate. You're going to go deaf. Remember when your mom told you you were going to go deaf if you didn't turn it down? All right, you're going deaf." And so he had to quit. He's going deaf. Yeah, he's on his way. So anyway, apparently... the management of AC/DC was trolling through an alley in Los Angeles and found one Axl Rose leaning up against the dumpster and signed him. They signed him to stand in for frontman Brian Johnson, who we all know is just standing in for the real AC/DC lead singer Bon Scott, who died in the back of a vehicle choked on vomit. A very glorious way, rock and roll way to die. Yes. Well, it's like they said in Spinal Tap. We don't know if it was his vomit. You can't dust for vomit like you can for fingerprints. Anyway, I don't know why. You know what it was? It was all those cheap blues licks made me think of AC/DC. I couldn't help it. All right. Now, We just reported on the super gonorrhea, so let's now go to the anything but God file. That's right. The anything but God file. This is from the Discovery Channel online. They asked the question, why did humans become monogamous? Apparently rejecting the promiscuity that is so natural to most animals. Why? Was it morality? Was it religion? Was it love? Asks the Discovery Channel author. They say, no, the answer is germs. Yes, researchers say that the havoc caused by sexually transmitted diseases, and then in parenthesis they put STI. They just said sexually transmitted disease, but then they put in parenthesis STI. There's a little scatterbrain there. Anyway, they say it was VD that convinced our ancestors that it would be better to just mate for life and avoid all the diseases. Yes, researchers from Canada and Germany observed that VD flourished among large groups of people living in villages, towns, and cities that arose after the prehistoric hunter-gatherers settled down to farm. Yes, that mythical story that we were all running around evolving out of cavemen. And we finally figured out how to plant a seed, and then civilization ensued. Well, so it wasn't God, and it wasn't religion, and it wasn't morality, and it certainly wasn't love. It was anything but God, anything. I'll take gonorrhea over God, says the atheist. Heathen, old earth, big bang, evolutionist. Anyway. Let's see, do I have anything else here? They say disease burden in larger residential group sizes can foster the emergence of socially imposed monogamy in human mating. Yeah? Well, try telling that in the village, for crying out loud. Have you been to the Castro district lately? That's not love. Yeah, anything but God. They'll end up giving credit to a venereal disease for solving the world's social problems, rather than look to the living God and the creator of the universe and the fact that he said, that reminds me of a Bible verse. I don't even have to open the Bible because I know this one pretty well. I'll paraphrase. In the beginning, he made them male and female, it says. Yeah, in the beginning, he made them male and female. And then you jump to the New Testament, and it says that a man should be the husband of one wife. And, yeah, it wasn't a strain of syphilis that gave us that. No, it was the living God. But the anything but God file, we set that aside now. And we move into the culture file where we will discuss now, this is the third story, and you have not fled, but this might do it. There's a new hashtag campaign. It's called hashtag shout your status. That's right, hashtag shout your status. Your status, see, that's millennial talk for whether or not you're positive for various venereal diseases. Now, did you know? This is a story from Salon.com. Salon tells us that this is STD Awareness Month. STD Awareness Month. They must not have gotten the STI memo yet over at Salon. But I didn't know it was VD Awareness Month, but it is. And so now there's a new hashtag on the social media platforms such as Twitter, Instagram, and others, for those of you who are hip and in the know. It's hashtag shout your status, and it's a way to show solidarity with other people who have VD and lessen the stigma associated with having a venereal disease. Yes. Let's see. The inventors of the hashtag are 1, 2, 3, 4 girls, and they all have herpes, unfortunately. And they say, we took a cue from the hashtag shout your abortion folks. We felt like if people could dismantle abortion stigma by like sharing their stories, we wanted to try the same tactic for our VD and all the other people who have it. The hashtag is a place for STI positive people to share their status as a way to humanize something that so many people have. I mean, like all my friends have it. And so that you do not have to like feel ashamed. Like, that's the girl who created the hashtag shout your status. On the backs of the Planned Parenthood-sponsored Shout Your Abortion campaign that has done so well in removing the stigma for parents who kill their own child. Seems like they're all still ashamed of it. Maybe the hashtags aren't working. Let's see. Anything else? Online posters. That's people who post online. All right. This is really hard to imagine that anybody could be this self-absorbed. But people posting this hashtag tell stories of how they contracted their various venereal diseases. Is that really necessary? We pretty much all know they're called sexually transmitted diseases, okay? We have a pretty good idea. We don't need to hear the story, young lady. We understand. Let's see. Back to the Salon article. One infected slut said that talking and writing about her experience with herpes... I can't take it. She says, talking and writing about my experience with, herpes... has helped me to, make peace with it. She's made peace with a virus. And by the way, there's a difference between, being proud of something and, refusing to be ashamed of it. I am not proud of having herpes, but I am proud that I love myself, despite a world that tells me I'm trash on a daily basis because I have herpes. Who is she hanging out with? She might want to get a different set of friends if everyone treats her like garbage. I wonder if that's a little Freudian. I don't want to get into a psychoanalysis of this poor lady, believe me. But let's see. Take pride in your VD and hashtag shout your status. Did I not state at the beginning of the program that the world is going insane? It's going completely insane. And it's no wonder because this has been going on for quite some time. Case in point, we go to John Dewey. Yes, we're going to go to reason number 1043 in no particular order to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And for that, we go to WorldNet Daily. Do you remember John Dewey? Is he the Dewey Decimal System guy? I never was able to master that. Never could figure out the Dewey Decimal System, but I'm not sure he's the same guy. But what John Dewey is the father of modern government education. And he was one of the signers of a document called the Humanist Manifesto, the first plank of which reads, according to WorldNet Daily, religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. So it's an irrational bunch of mentally deranged, unscientific psychobabblers. The universe is self-existing and not created. That's the first plank of the manifesto signed by John Dewey right before he instituted all of the institutions that are responsible for educating the young people. So the guy at the very top, at the very beginning, was an irrational, unscientific, mentally deranged person. The universe is self-existing. All right. Humanist author John Dunphy laid out the humanist plans when he wrote the following in the Humanist magazine in 1983. I told you this has been going on for some time. Here's what author John Dunphy said. He says, a viable alternative to Christianity must be sought. That alternative is humanism. I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith, a new religion of humanity that recognizes and respects the spark of what theologians call divinity in every human being. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach, regardless of the educational level. Unquote. That's John Dunphy, humanist from the Humanist magazine, in 1983. That's when I was going to public school, 1983. And this guy was telling everyone who would listen. Of course, we didn't have the internet in 1983, but still, that's no excuse. It was fairly obvious what was going on. I remember that I was not allowed to get a B And that was very bad news when Doug brought home a B from school. I would get in trouble because I typically was able to get A's. Not to brag, but public school was fairly easy. I could roll out of bed half awake and get an A in almost everything because it was pretty much a joke. But in eighth grade, I was allowed to get an F. My father explicitly told me when I took my test on human evolution that I was allowed to fail. And so I answered every question on the test from a creationist perspective, as best I knew at the time. And indeed, I got my first and only F in my education. Yes. And so you would have thought that my old man would have said, all right, you know what? Maybe this is a bad idea sending him to this school since I'm going to let him fail. Anyway, but well, what did people know in the 1980s? Well, there was a few people who were already homeschooling in the 1980s, as a matter of fact. And now there are well over a million families, most of them Christian, yes, most of them Christian, who are educating their kids at home and in the fear and admonition of the living God in order to avoid the influences of evil, wicked humanists like John Dewey, John Dunphy, and let's see, who can I? I'm trying to remember my eighth grade science teacher's name, and I can't remember her name. Boy, she must feel pretty lousy. She thought she was a real big-time influence in my life. I can't even remember her name. I'm Doug McBurney. This is the Weekly Worldview. That was Fastway, by the way, circa approximately 1983. Speaking of cheap blues licks. Now, we have to continue, though. We're going into the asylum file. I have to go into the asylum file since all the VD talk did not drive my extremely attractive audio engineer. From the studio, I think that the story about Bruce Springsteen could do it. In fact, just the mention of the name Bruce Springsteen and my extremely attractive audio engineer becomes extremely uninterested. Why? Because Bruce Springsteen is lame. Everything he's ever done was lame. Just a lame artist who only had a career because people in New Jersey drink a lot. All right, so into the asylum file, Bruce Springsteen has canceled his concert in North Carolina, according to the BBC, condemning what the BBC calls a law that rolls back protection for gay and transgendered people. The law invalidated several local anti-discrimination measures that protected gay and transgendered people, says the BBC. And let's see. How are the perverts being persecuted now? They say that the North Carolina legislature is now persecuting gays and trannies. It's because they passed a law that requires people to use public toilets that correspond to the sex listed on their birth certificates. That's the persecution. Telling the tranny that he can't go in the bathroom with your daughter is now considered persecution against mentally ill sex perverts. By the way, I was chastised online. I go on Facebook maybe once every month, maybe, because I can tell how it could consume your whole life. Anyway, I called somebody a sex pervert, and they said, why do you say sex pervert? You're being redundant. Why can't you just say pervert? And they have a point, at least from a grammatical standpoint, but I do want to emphasize their particular perversion. Because you can pervert a lot of things, right? Yes, but they're sex perverts. Anyway, let's see here. What Bruce Springsteen said in a statement, which means he didn't actually say it. He just had somebody else type it up for him, put it out in a press release. Because who wants to stand up and defend the idea that boys should not be able to go in the girls' bathroom? Did I get that right? Or is that, this is all so very confusing. Who wants to get up and say that keeping boys out of the girls' room is not the right thing to do? Who wants to get up and actually say that and have to take questions for crying out loud? I mean, as much as I dislike Bruce Springfield, whatever his name is, Rick Springfield, what's his name? Bruce Springsteen, whatever. As much as I dislike him, I never thought him to be a homo. And he could get tripped up with questions. He could end up revealing that he has a preference for heterosexual normal people. So he just issued a statement on this one. He says, some things are more important than a rock show, and this fight against prejudice and bigotry, which is happening as I write, is one of them. It is the strongest means I have for raising my voice in opposition to those who continue to push us backward instead of forwards. All right. So here you have a mainline superstar entertainer in full denial of reality, saying that keeping boys out of the girls' room is now the equivalent of lynching slaves in the 1800s. All right. So what else? PayPal dropped its plans to expand their pile of homos into North Carolina. Hulu, which is some kind of online video streaming something, decided they're going to film in Canada rather than North Carolina. To which the Canadians are all like, oh, great. You have a pile of homos in the streets of Toronto instead of Raleigh. What did Brian Adams do? He said he's with Bruce on this? Yeah? Is that right? So we've got, I heard that, you know who else I heard? As a matter of fact, this probably won't surprise you. Cyndi Lauper says that boys should be able to go in the girls' room. I wonder if any of these people have any kids. Maybe they do, and that's even scarier if they actually have kids. There's no way Cyndi Lauper ever reproduced, right? But Bruce Springsteen, he probably has kids, for crying out loud. Just very scary. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, the commissioner of the NBA. Did you know that the NBA was going to have their All-Star game in North Carolina? You didn't know that, did you? Neither did I. Because we hate basketball. We think it's stupid. But if you like it, God bless you. Governor, let's see here. The NBA All-Star game will not be moved from North Carolina because it would cost the NBA way too much money. And, well, you know, we're dedicated to all you homos and perverts, but come on. There's a lot of money involved here. What we'll do is we will send NBA players into the girls' room during the game. That's stand up. And, like, who's going to argue with a 7-foot guy? Go in whatever bathroom he wants, right? Let's see. The governor of North Carolina, shockingly, is defending the law, calling it common sense. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable he would have the nerve to say that it's common sense that we should, like, go to the bathroom that's, you know, I mean, please, people. Supporters of the law say outlawing transgendered people. I'm sorry, I messed that up. Supporters of the law say allowing transgendered people to choose their restroom could lead to women and children being attacked. No. Believe it or not, men could pose as transgendered people and use legal protections as a cover for their nefarious, devious, perverted activities in bathrooms. Just say that it's... That could never happen. Are you crazy? Anyway, I was being sarcastic. It's going to happen. I mean, you know what these people do in bathrooms, right? I mean, they're famous already for what they do in bathrooms. Infamous. All right. Let's see. The BBC says North Carolina is one of a number of states in the southern U.S. that have recently considered or enacted legislation that many deem anti-gay. Last June, the U.S. Supreme Court made gay marriage legal nationwide. In response, conservatives have sought to enact protections for religious people. Yes. Now, here's the thing. This is why we've lost on this battle against the homosexualization of our nation. And we've lost, folks. That battle is over. And the homos have won. We're now fighting a rearguard action just trying to save the wounded at this point. And one of the reasons we lost is that we have given, I mean, insane people. Literally, these people are insane. We've given them the status of normalcy. And we choose to engage them politically. As soon as someone stands up and says transgendered people should be allowed to go to the bathroom wherever they want, that person should be arrested for crying out loud. What are you talking about? But since all this sexual perversion is no longer criminal, you can't just arrest these maniacs. You have to actually debate them and pass laws to try to stop them from flooding the bathrooms with perverts. It's unbelievable that we've gotten ourselves into this. These people don't need to be engaged politically. They need to be engaged judicially. These are criminal behaviors. Folks, these behaviors were criminal for 5,000 years before I said anything about it. Okay? It's unbelievable. All right. Yes, I'm willing to say it. The people pushing these laws and pushing for the normalcy of any kind of perverted sex outside of marriage are criminals. It should be criminal to advocate such activities and behaviors. That's all. All right. So let's see here. I have more on this insane story. The NBA commissioner says he will not, as I said earlier, what's the commissioner's name? Adam Silver. Adam Silver says that they're not going to change, but they don't like it. He says the law in North Carolina is problematic for the league, and we will seek to effect change in North Carolina, says the NBA commissioner. Meanwhile, Cirque du Soleil, that's another pile of flaming homos, right? Come on, bunch of guys wearing spandex outfits. Cirque du Soleil say they're not going to go to North Carolina. In fact, they've canceled their shows. So they canceled their shows because... let's see, what do they say? The legislation passed in North Carolina is an important regression to ensuring human rights for all, said a spokesman for Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil? What is it? You've got to be kidding me. It's a fabulous show with dancers and circus acts and trapeze. It's fabulous. Shows you how sheltered we are here. Bernie Compound, my extremely attractive audio engineer, unfamiliar with Cirque du Soleil, which just means I want to hang out with her that much more. Just knowing that topic will never come up, that makes a relationship with this particular person very attractive to me. So, Cirque du Soleil will not go. They've canceled North Carolina, kicked them to the curb, but... Cirque du Soleil has not canceled its upcoming performances in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai. Why? Well, there's a lot of money involved. A lot of money involved. And so, look, we're really dedicated to all you, LGBTQAIOU people. But, I mean, have you seen how much money the sheiks in Dubai have? Okay. We get some fabulous clothes in Dubai. Let's see, Cirque du Soleil is still scheduled to run from September 16th to the 24th at the Dubai World Trade Center. In Dubai, certain forms of homosexuality are punishable by jail and whipping and all of that. So do we sniff a little hypocrisy here? Well, we do, but there's a lot of money involved. All right. And you know what else it is? It's that deep down, most of these people, they don't believe any of this hogwash that boys should be able to go in the girls' room. This is just the latest politically correct fad that you just have to be on the right side of, or I don't know. You feel bad. You might be shamed by Will Smith's transgendered son-daughter thing.
She's got the jack. She's got the jack.
I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you, boys. That's right. That was back when Brian's hearing was completely intact. And that was the origin. That's the father of the cheap blues lick right there. And all of that. Now, so let's go again to the science, really, file, where we go to North Texas. Where, let's see, they're talking about the Zika virus. They're saying that the insects that could carry the Zika virus are in North Texas. That's right. They'll be there by May or June. And local health officials are warning everyone to take preventative steps now. Be afraid, very afraid. The Zika mosquitoes are on their way. Meanwhile, the Centers for Disease Control has confirmed another sexually transmitted case of Zika in Dallas, this time. The virus was shared between two men. Okay. Now, if that didn't send her fleeing from the studio. So there you have it, folks. It turns out the Zika virus has been identified as a sexually transmitted disease amongst a pair of homosexuals. All right. This is, they say, the first reported infection between a gay couple. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean they're happy. That means that they're homosexual. They're gay. So health officials now worry that Zika will spread even faster through sex, as well as through mosquito bites. Gee, you think? I don't know. This whole mosquito thing seems a little shaky because mosquitoes can carry all kinds of diseases, and they always have. So this whole mosquito birth defects angle, we got to get the women the abortions. Oh, now what are these homos going to do? They can't even get an abortion for their Zika virus. There's no treatment known for the homosexuals. Dallas County health officials said that asymptomatic pregnant women who have recently traveled to a location where the Zika virus is active should request a test from their doctor. That's so they can get an abortion. Now, let's see here. By this logic, shouldn't anyone who is diagnosed with the Zika virus call their doctor and arrange for their bodies to be torn limb from limb and them to be killed? It's as if the media thinks abortion is the only treatment for Zika. Well, what do you do with when a homo gets... I don't want to go there. So Zika virus is going to turn out to be just another venereal disease. An STI, STDI. Yes, that's what Zika virus actually is. And the whole abortion birth defect angle, it's just a cover for all the sex perverts because nobody wants to admit that sex outside marriage is a bad idea. It's bad for public health and it's criminal, by the way. So what should the punishment be, let's say? My pastor has a fun time asking atheists and old earthers and big bangers and lesbians and homos and other assorted garden variety perverts and sodomites. He asks them, what do you think the punishment was in the Old Testament for fornication? By the way, I'll define fornication for all of you uneducated people. Fornication is when two unmarried people have sex, okay? Not to put too fine a point on it, but just so you know what I'm talking about. My pastor would ask people that he was debating, what do you think the Old Testament punishment was? And of course they'd say, death, death. God said, stone him to death. And then my pastor would say, no, actually, That was for adultery. That's when married people, yeah. Death penalty was for adultery. The punishment in the Old Testament for fornication was that you had to get married. That was the punishment, yeah. And not a lot of people know that. And it's always fun to embarrass a self-absorbed, self-righteous atheist. Yeah, it's really fun. Next time you're debating an atheist, try to slip that one in, because you'll nail them every time. All right, now we go to the suicidal idiot children file, where CNN has posted an article educating all of us on what it means. Are you ready for this? What it means to be gender fluid. Gender fluid. All right, now I'm going to leave the allusion to fluid aside completely, because that's too easy. I'm not going to go there. CNN says, for some people, gender is not just about being male or female. In fact, how one identifies can change every day or even every few hours. It's called gender fluidity. Yes, Dot Brewer is the director of the LGBTQA Center at the University of Vermont. And Dot identifies as genderqueer and prefers the pronoun they. So it doesn't like to be referred to as him or her. It likes to be referred to as they. Okay. At this point, shouldn't someone be calling a psychiatrist if you want to be referred to as they? Maybe I'm irrational. Maybe I've lost my mind. But this Dot Brewer, the director of the LGBTQA Center at the University of Vermont, says gender identification is about what feels right for the person. We've got another, let's see. They go on to describe a number of these type of mentally deranged people. Lee Lucian is a 26-year-old person and also prefers the pronoun they. And says that it might wake up as a man or as a woman, sometimes as both, and sometimes as neither. And we're supposed to take this person seriously. I mean, at some point, doesn't the CNN reporter just go, okay, wait a second. This is ridiculous. I can't report this as if it's news. Well, sometimes I'm a man, sometimes I'm a woman, sometimes I'm both, and sometimes I'm neither. And it's completely up to me. Lucian says, how I express it, my sexuality, is usually how I dress, how I do my hair. But then my mannerisms change, and the way I speak might change a little bit, too. I might just wake up and decide to be a man, or I might just decide I want to be a frilly girl, put on something pink and lacy. Other times I might put on leather, chains, go out and act tough. What's important is it's up to me, not up to anybody else. Certainly not up to the God who made me. We all know there is no such thing as God. God is a figment of people's imagination, just like a flying spaghetti monster. Okay, but CNN goes on. Lucian says that the internet, along with the emergence of gender fluid celebrities, has made millennials more comfortable with expressing their gender, whatever that means. Lucian says there shouldn't be a sense of what's normal and what's not. Transgender, gender fluid, and non-binary individuals should feel safe and be able to do that publicly. See, this is what Lucian wants. Lucian doesn't just want to be a pervert in the privacy of his own dark, decrepit little basement. Lucian wants to be able to walk down the street publicly in front of your children and mine and act like a deranged, mentally ill sex pervert and have us tell him that he's okay. If it's a him and that we don't know. Frankie Davis, CNN reports, is 14 years old and identifies as a gender-fluid demi-boy. I said demi-boy. D-E-M-I-B-O-Y. And prefers the pronoun they. Yes. Demi-boy, CNN notes, means a person who identifies partially as a man. Okay. And Frankie, listen to how the CNN reporter goes on to say, Frankie discovered their gender. He's going to use the pronoun they to refer to this person in the story. Frankie discovered their gender identity during adolescence. And when they came out as a demi-boy, mom acknowledged him, mom decided to homeschool Frankie at that point due to the anxiety they faced at school. So by the time you finish the article, you think that you're referring to more than one person because it's grammatic insanity to refer to someone by a plural pronoun unless they're possessed of demons or they have multiple personality disorder, for crying out loud. So anyway, Frankie's mom, not exactly the poster girl for homeschooling that we follow here at the McBurney compound. What's that? You're a demi boy? Oh, that's wonderful, Frankie. Let's see. Frankie's mom says, my greatest concern that they were going to be more isolated and the limited friendships they have socially. She's talking about her kids, singular. Let's see here. She said she would tell a parent of a child like hers to understand that it's important to let them grow. Our job, says Frankie's mom, is to be their life cheerleader and set them up for success. She said as she gritted her teeth in utter embarrassment at the fact that she raised a child and somehow destroyed the child's grasp on reality and possibly the child's sanity, and wants to go on and try to toss it off as if it's normal. And the reporters at CNN are all too happy to help her. They, give me a break, please. All right, so there. That's the collapse and fall of Western civilization. Let's move on now to the war file as we're rapidly running out of time. The United States government has freed 9 Guantanamo Bay prisoners. The Pentagon announced in a statement, because nobody wants to get up on the podium and take questions about the fact that we just released 9 terrorists to Saudi Arabia. Yes, they released these 9 to Saudi Arabia. There are now 80 prisoners left at Guantanamo, including 26 cleared men who are expected to be released by the end of the summer. So who are these 26 cleared men? Cleared, by the way. Now, cleared to me implies that there was an investigation and it turned out the guys were not actually terrorists, which it could happen, right? You can make a mistake. And so you could clear a guy, right? The police do that. The DNA doesn't match and they say, well, he's cleared. They have to let him go. Well, now, these terrorists down in Guantanamo, all the men whose release was announced Saturday are Yemeni, but they could not be sent back to their homeland because U.S. officials fear that they would resume the militant activities that landed them in Guantanamo in the first place. So they've been cleared for release, but they are terrorists, if you can comprehend that. I cannot. But there we have it. But the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that these 9 terrorists are expected to take part in a Saudi rehabilitation program, like the 12 steps for jihadis. First step, don't blow yourself or anyone else up today. Huh? There you go. That's step 1, and then there's 11 more. Let's see. The other prisoners in the release, I'm sorry. One of these guys named, I just want to give you their names because they're going to come up again as terrorists. Tariq Ba'oda, Ahmed Umar Abdullah Al-Hakimi, Abdul Rahman Mohammed Saleh Nasir, Ali Yaha Mari Al-Raimi, Muhammad Abdullah Muhammad Al-Hamiri, Ahmed Yaslam Said Kuman, Abd al-Rahman Al-Yakkati? Well, their parents just aren't very creative with their names. These guys should move to Detroit or Chicago. Learn how to name their kids really creative names. What was the one I saw this week? There was a woman elected to the Denver school board, and her name was Median. Median, M-I-D-I-A-N, and the D is capitalized because that's where you put the emphasis. Midian. I know it looked like Midian, but it's Midian. You're going to pronounce it like my mama put it on my birth certificate. Midian. Anyway, she had to resign, unfortunately. She had been convicted of several instances of child abuse, child neglect. Hence, she was on the elected to the Denver School Board, naturally. Anyway, now you interrupted me before I got to Mansour Muhammad Ali Al-Qata. So anyway, just remember these names, folks. Remember these names because you may hear them again associated with some type of, what are they? I've already heard of those guys. I thought those were the guys on the planes on 9/11 for crying out loud. All right. Anyway, they may resume militant activities in the near future. Not to joke around about it, but you know, what are you going to do? If you don't laugh at it, you probably go insane. You'll actually lose your mind. And we go deeper into the war file, and the deeper you go into the war file, you end up in the weeds of the politics file. And this is from CBS in Los Angeles. Lawmakers are calling on the White House to declassify about 24 pages in the 9/11 Commission report that they say outlines evidence for possible support from the Saudi government for two of the hijackers who participated in the 9/11 attacks and who have been living in Southern California. 60 Minutes is apparently going to be on. I believe this is going to air tonight, or maybe it aired already if you're listening to this on Monday, if the world hasn't ended. The 60 Minutes report raises questions over whether Saudi officials were involved in assisting Nawaf al-Hazmi and Khalid al-Midhar when they arrived in Los Angeles back in 2000. According to the report, witnesses say that both of the 9/11 hijackers met at the King Fahad Mosque in Culver City with Fahad al-Thumairi, a diplomat at the Saudi consulate known to hold extremist views. He was subsequently denied entry into the U.S. in 2003 because they thought he might be a terrorist. But in 2000, he was working for the Saudi consulate. Oh, whoops. Let's see. This fellow was a ghost employee with a no-show job at a Saudi aviation contractor outside Los Angeles while he was drawing a paycheck from the Saudi government. So anyway, these 24 pages have been covered up since the George W. Bush figured it all out and basically let the Saudis off the hook. Why? Well, there's a lot of money involved. And not just a lot. I mean, huge piles of money. So much money that you can't even imagine how much money. In fact, the World Trade Centers were blown apart on national television live in front of everybody. But there's really a lot of money involved here, said George Bush and Dick Cheney and Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. And pretty much everyone in the United States government participated in this cover-up. And maybe it's going to come out now, maybe. The White House is reviewing whether to declassify the couple dozen pages. Let's see here. Maybe because he wants to embarrass Bill Clinton on the eve of Hillary's anticipated coronation as the Democratic nominee. But Hillary may survive it. I mean, it could come out that she actually signed off on the cover-up, and she's like a drug-resistant venereal disease, Hillary Clinton. You just can't kill this woman. Politically speaking, of course. Yeah, she may end up just like the super gonorrhea. She's resistant to all of it. She could survive mega syphilis. There will be a new STI called Hillary gonorrhea worm. Clinton. Anyway, all right. Saudi Arabia, by the way, says if you release those documents, they said to Barry in a back channel call. They said that they will, they say if Congress passes a bill that would allow the government, the Saudi government, to be held responsible in American courts for any part in their role on September 11th, 2001, they say that they would be forced, we would be forced, unfortunately, to sell up to, say, $750 billion in Treasury securities and other assets in the United States. It would be very unfortunate for this to happen, but...
before the assets could be frozen by the U.S. government, we would have to sell them all. And it could have devastating economic impact. After all, Mr. Obama,
there is a lot of money involved here, you know. Not just a lot of money, big piles of money, huge money.
Well, so Saudi Arabia has made the threat, letting all of us know that this is real. Why else would Saudi Arabia threaten to dump U.S. securities unless they knew they were implicated in these papers? And they knew that there was a really good chance that there will be some future legal action taken against them. It's because it's true. It's because they were involved. Did anybody make a mental note that all of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia? Does anybody remember that? I remember. Let's see. Economists are skeptical that the Saudis will follow through on the threat, saying that it would be difficult to execute and it would cripple their own economy. The administration, in the meantime, has been lobbying so intently against the bill in Congress that some lawmakers and families of September 11 victims are infuriated. And by the way, Barry Ho will arrive in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, this coming Wednesday for meetings with King Salman and other Saudi officials. It's unclear, says the New York Times, whether the dispute over the September 11th legislation will be on the agenda. Really? It's unclear? I don't think it's unclear at all. I think it's crystal clear that it will be on the agenda. That is, if the world doesn't come to an end, and it very well may. We go now to the science, really, file. Yes, a series of powerful earthquakes has struck Asia and South America in the past week, and experts warn that they could be followed by a mega quake in the near future. Two earthquakes struck Japan, killing dozens of people so far, causing landslides. Then a 6.1 struck southeast of Tonga in the South Pacific. Another one, the most recent, at least as we go to air, is in Ecuador, a 7.8. Killing so far at least 77. And a seismologist, wait a second here. Last week, there were also shakes in the Philippines, Vanuatu, and Myanmar. All of the earthquakes have occurred in countries straddling the so-called Ring of Fire. A seismologist at the University of Colorado told the Daily Express that the current conditions might trigger at least four earthquakes greater than an 8.0 in magnitude, and that's a big earthquake. You certainly don't want to be traveling this week to any earthquake-prone areas if you don't have to. Maybe that's why Barry's going to Saudi Arabia. All right, meantime, we'll continue in the politics file. Let's see here, because we're almost out of time. Let's see here. Yep. So, Paul, people wondered, I got messages from folks asking, why did I call Paul Ryan, the front runner, in the Republican race for the nomination? Well, here I've got a story from Law News. Phil Houston is the CEO of Q Verity, a training consulting company specializing in detecting deception. And he analyzed Speaker of the House Paul Ryan's statement last week, where Paul Ryan categorically declared, quote, I do not want nor will I accept the nomination for our party, unquote. Yes, seems to have ruled himself out. Ryan said, if no candidate has a majority on the first ballot, I believe that you should only choose from a person who has actually participated in the primary. But Phil Houston, the CEO of Q Verify, who specializes in detecting deception, says that Ryan couched this statement in terms of simply being what he believes should be the case, as opposed to what absolutely must be the case, which Paul Ryan was careful to not say. He just said what he believed. Yes, according to Q Verity, he failed to make any direct reference to the three Republican candidates, by the way. That's another sign, a little red flag. He didn't mention the other three guys, not a one of them. Let's see. He said he would have made some effort to rationalize the legitimacy of the remaining three Republican candidates, but he did not, meaning that Paul Ryan is lying right to your face. And that's why we have coronated Paul Ryan as the new front runner in the Republican nomination run, and apparently that's it for the show. Yes. I'm so glad to have had you visit with us on a beautiful day here. The day before the world collapsed. I hope not. No, I don't. I don't want to hear about earthquakes. Certainly don't want to hear about the end of the world. And I don't even want to comprehend how my grandchildren are going to use the bathroom in public. I just don't want to think about it. I'm done with all that. Instead, I'll wish you all the best. And thank you and my friends at KGOV, my friends at American Right to Life. My other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, and should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.